Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps you've heard someone say, "He's riding the fence," or "He's in the mushy middle." "She can't decide where she stands," or "We don't know where they stand on that." In religion these days, it is especially fashionable to be tolerant of and to not speak against any religion or practice so as not to offend anyone. In politics, it is considered wise by some to vote present if you don't want to have to take a stand. In higher education, it is said to be easiest if you would just cooperate in order to graduate. Most certainly, we have all waffled on a position, gone along to get along, and even compromised our beliefs to some degree before. Sometimes we just want to see which way the wind is blowing, which way the majority will respond and act before we take our stand or make our vote or speak our mind. If we are uninformed, then it is better to keep quiet. But if we have an understanding and we are silent when we should speak, then we are either afraid of the consequences, embarrassed by our beliefs, or we are indifferent. The gospel lesson before us today deals with many things. So many things that if we were to preach on them all, we would be here all afternoon. But the aspect of the lesson that I am preaching on is that part that teaches that when it comes to the person, work, and teaching of Jesus Christ, we cannot be indifferent or indecisive. There is no room for neutrality, no voting present. Jesus' disciples have found a man casting out demons in Jesus' name. And the Greek text says that they hindered him because he was not with them. Jesus, though, says, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us." Certainly, this unnamed exorcist is for Jesus. But since you know your scriptures well, you may say to me, "But Pastor, what then about the words of Jesus in Matthew's account of the gospel? He says, 'He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters.'" You might rightly say that this text makes it sound like all of those who are not with Jesus are against him, and that if they are not gathering with him, then they are scattering apart from him. You would be correct. That is also true. Is there then a contradiction? The answer to this seeming contradiction is important. First, you must remember that God's word is not only without error, it is clear. It contains no contradictions. The only contradiction is ours, not God's. These passages cannot be used against one another. Rather, one must inform the other. In fact, they complete one another. They both make the same point, just to a different audience. No one can be indifferent or neutral when it comes to the person, work, and teachings of Jesus Christ. In Mark's account of the gospel, the text you heard today, a man who is not with and among, very important words, a man who is not with and among the disciples is able to cast out a demon using Jesus' name. A good work, to be sure. In Matthew's account of the gospel, the setting is just a bit different. Jesus has just finished healing a man by driving out the demon that had possessed him. The Pharisees who were watching have now accused Jesus of driving out demons by Beelzebub, by the spirit, by the chief of demons. So did you catch the difference between the settings? Do you see the nuance that is there? In the text from Mark, Jesus is speaking about a believing man who is acting in his name. In the text from Matthew, Jesus is speaking to unbelieving Jews who stand against Jesus and against the gospel. Jesus told the man in Mark's account that he should not stop preaching or working in Jesus' name because he was for them. But that doesn't mean that God, that Jesus, has given this man permission to go out and be apart from them. Jesus makes it clear from the text in Matthew that if you are not with him, then you are against him. Instead of gathering, you are being divisive and separating people from Jesus. You are scattering. If we invoke and call upon the name of Jesus in faith, then we must also go and be where his name is exalted and where his teachings are taught. If we do not do this, then we are guilty of dividing and scattering. If we are not with Jesus, then we are against him. Jesus commands his disciples to allow the man to work, because even though the man is not currently with Jesus, the fact is, he is using Jesus' name. And because he is using Jesus' name and speaking in his name, the idea is that the man will soon be joining them. Jesus says, you cannot invoke the name of God in one breath and shortly thereafter speak curses using the same name. At the same time, keeping in mind the saying from Matthew, Jesus doesn't give anyone permission to go it on their own. You can't use Jesus' name and then fail to seek him out where he has promised to be found. You can't use Jesus' name for blessing and then do what is contrary to his name and to his word. It isn't enough to be for Jesus. We must also be with him, where his word is present and active and living. You, like me, have probably met those people that are for Jesus, but don't see the need to be where he is. Someone will say, I believe in Jesus. But when you ask them, what church do you attend? What do you believe about Jesus? You will likely hear, oh, I don't attend church. I don't think it's necessary. I don't get into all that doctrine stuff. I just believe in Jesus. Isn't that enough? Someone like this is certainly for Jesus. They have made the confession in his name, whoever that Jesus may be to them. But this person is actually one who is scattering. He is dividing. They are not with Jesus and the disciples. They are not where Jesus' teachings are taught, where his word is proclaimed, and where his sacraments are administered. He does not believe all things that Jesus has said. No one can be indifferent or neutral when it comes to the person, work, and teaching of Jesus Christ. Our Lutheran confessions, in the section called the Formula of Concord, make it absolutely clear that it is not enough to speak the truth. We must also speak directly against falsehood. There can be no riding the fence, no indifference, no neutrality, no voting present. And when we preach the truth, it is going to offend. We have been told it is a stumbling block. But when we point out falsehood, it is going to do more than offend. It is going to cause great anger. There are many groups who speak of Jesus and even claim to speak in his name. No one would deny that they are for him. But then many of those same groups deny his teachings, like infant baptism and his real presence in communion and in worship. Therefore, they are not with him. And no matter how large their assembly, no matter how much they talk, they have separated themselves from Christ and from his teaching. They scatter and divide. As a theologian and as a pastor, I want to be for Jesus. I want to be with him as well. but frequently I am neither. That millstone that our text refers to, that is designated for the one who leads little children astray, it belongs squarely around this neck. The weight should be mine to bear. My frequent doubt and unbelief, my worry and my fear do not gather the little ones to Jesus, but scatter them away. I have not always led my children or my congregation in the way of truth and in the gospel. My actions have clearly shown that my words mean very little. My hands have sinned. They're full of innocent blood. My feet have failed to always carry the good news of the gospel, and instead have often delivered gossip and slander. My eyes have seen evil and have not turned away from it. They've even enjoyed it and continue to watch it. Yes, that millstone that the text refers to belongs right here around this neck. And like Jonah, I should be thrown off of the boat. I know that you also want to be for Jesus, and that you want to be with him as well. I know that you have also failed and done what is evil in his sight. Your hands and your feet and your eyes have all betrayed you. And like me, your heart is full of evil. At the very same time, though, we must not confuse our being for and with Jesus and his being for and with us. We must not think that because we are often against him or stand in the way of his plan of salvation, that he is against us or that he has condemned us. For in spite of my weakness and sin, as you prayed for me in that first hymn, Jesus is for me and with me. He has called me to be his servant in this place and to preach his word and to administer his sacraments here. In spite of all my weakness and sin, he has promised to be present here with me in the proclamation of his word. In spite of your weakness and sin, Jesus is for you and with you as well. He has called you to believe in him, to be the best child, the best father or mother, the best brother or sister, the best farmer, banker, painter, secretary, architect, realtor, handyman, mechanic, technician, manager, teacher, or whatever your profession may be, he has called you to be the best at it that you can be. But even when we fail to do our best in our vocation, or when we stand against him and his gospel, he is not against us. Since Jesus died for me and united me to himself in baptism, and since he has come to me in his word and in his body and blood, these bloody hands have been cleansed to deliver his gifts. These feet of mine that have often delivered bad news have been made pure to deliver the sweet, pure gospel. These eyes have been opened to the truth, and they have been closed to falsehood. That millstone that deserves to be around my neck has been removed. The debt that I owe has been paid. The heavy weight of my sin has been lifted away, and I have been forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been given access to my heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, his Son, in the Holy Spirit. Since Jesus died for you and united himself to you in holy baptism, and since he comes to you in his word and in his body and blood, your hands have also been cleansed to serve him in your vocation. Your feet have been made ready to carry the good news. Your eyes have been opened to the truth and closed to falsehood. The condemnation that you deserve has been removed. The debt that you owe has been entirely paid. The heavy weight of your sins has been taken from around your neck, and you have been forgiven. You have been given access to your heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit. We don't have to find some way to ascend into heaven to find our triune God and worship Him. We can't even go about beginning to make ourselves ready to receive His holy gifts or to stand in His holy presence. Instead, He comes to us. He makes us ready to receive His gifts in faith. He prepares us. He makes us holy. Through His Spirit, He draws us to where He is present and active in His living Word and sacraments. He places His name on our lips and in our heart so that we can confess Him to be the truth, so that we can not only be for Him, but that we can be with Him as well. He invites us to be where His name is invoked and where Jesus' death and resurrection is proclaimed. It is no accident that you are here today. The triune God has drawn you to this place just as He said that He would. He has called you to be with Him. Even though that God that we worship, the triune God, is in our midst, you have nothing to fear. He is not here in judgment or wrath, but in mercy and in love. He is here revealing the mysteries of His kingdom to you and to me and to our little ones. Since He is for us, who then can be against us? Since He has spoken His word of absolution clearly and plainly and forcefully, who can speak against Him? Your sins have been forgiven, removed as far as the east is from the west, and no one can bring them back. It is not wishful thinking when I say, "The Lord be with you," for He is with you. It's not an abstract idea when I say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you His peace." Instead, it is a blessed, current reality. Heaven is open, and a foretaste of the heavenly feast now awaits you on this altar. It is laid here where Christ's body and blood are given with the bread and the wine for you and for your salvation. Nothing in this life, not your doubt or worry, not your indifference or fear to speak, not your sinning hands, your wandering feet, or your haughty eyes, nothing. Nothing at all in this creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.